Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, September 9th, and we're back.
Good morning.
As always, I always say that, huh? Because we are back. We need to remind people that. You know? People need to know we're here.
Another day.
Yeah, so we're here live, unless you're listening to this a few months from now. And
that's crazy to think.
Yeah, right? But people do. I mean, I can't tell you how many past archives people listen to.
Yeah.
It's amazing, you know. And I don't blame them. I mean, we have a great show, you know. If you want to listen to past shows, they're all there. Years worth.
That's pretty cool to look back and see how many you've actually done.
Yeah, I know. I know. So there's exciting things going on, you know, and I told you I closed down the adult station because people were not showing up. They were,
right.
It's a really flaky industry, you know, and people, you know, I mean, it's kind of crude to say, but these people will go where the money is, you know. I mean, if you're going to screw on screen, you'll do just about anything for money.
Right.
And the thing is that, you know, when they come in to do a radio show, they always have to figure out, well, can I make more money somewhere else? And what happens is in this industry also, they get calls like last minute to go and shoot a scene or something. So,
right.
You know, so if they have a radio show and then they need, they get called or something, guess where they go?
Right.
So it, you know, and it doesn't matter how much you'll give them, you know, they'll still go where most money is. So I figured I can't run a station like that. You know,
yeah.
People are late for their own shows. Some of them don't show up. So I thought, you know, I can't do this. So after almost 5 months, I shut it down. And but, you know, I'm turning this into something positive, and we're going to turn this into another channel here on LA Talk Radio, which is going to have some shows for those who choose to do video.
Yeah.
So that would be amazing. And I'm looking forward to that. We're going to do it better than anybody else, I know. And so at least it won't be wasted just on adult industry, which, you know, I always flirted with it, you know, like... I remember when I lived in South Africa in the 90s, and then I came back here, I looked for web design work, and I found a job, and then it turned out to be like adult websites and stuff. So I kind of had a brush with it then. Then when interactive CD-ROMs were around, I was also doing some animation and stuff for products like that. And yeah, so I always, but you know, it's just, it's not for me, man. I'm too, like, I have too much integrity, I think.
Right.
You know, and not to say that there's not a lot of great people there. I met a lot of great people, but I can't start a business like that.
Right.
You know,
when you have to rely on people, they need to care.
Yeah, they need to be there. You know, for crying out loud, you do all this for them, and they don't even appreciate it. So. Yeah, and I mean, I actually, it's a thankless job, it turned out. And I'm like, this is not what I set out to do. You know, I want excitement. I want passion. I want people to want to come and do their shows just like they do here.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So so I'm excited about that. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to launch that. So some shows will be on video. And
yeah, that's really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, some people just love to be seen, you know.
Right.
So that's who you do it for. We're going to keep our show here. I don't want any video, man. There's nothing to see. Yeah, we'll send you pictures. So in a few minutes, we're going to have a call from Christian Rutter, who is the co-founder of OkCupid. You know that site?
Yeah.
Have you heard of it?
I have.
Yeah, it's a dating site that it matches you up with other people, so it doesn't let you search and find, right? I mean, it only offers things to you, and you choose whether you're going to pursue it or not.
I've never been on it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's not a traditional website, you know. So it's like you go on there, and based on a big questionnaire and stuff, they match you up with candidates they think you'd get along with. So that is that. And but what that did is that it gave him so much data to work from, you know, having so many people on the site, that he started like making conclusions about people's lives and things like that, and how people behave and that. So I thought that would be interesting. He's got a new book out, so we're going to talk to him in a few minutes.
Definitely. And, sounds very interesting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the book is full of graphs and charts and stuff, which can get dry. But behind that, you know, I mean, if you go into to some chapters are really cool. You know, I mean, it really tells you how it shows you how society has changed so much. You know, we've really changed quite a bit. So we'll see about that. I remember the early days of the internet, it was like embarrassing to date online, you know. People would not do it. I remember when people were weary about putting their credit cards online.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I remember.
And nobody would do that.
I'm still a little.
Yeah, I know, huh?
Sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I should do this. I don't know if this is a safe
it's
website.
It's probably too late, you know.
Yeah,
it's already out there, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, man.
But now it's part of society. I mean, everyone.
Yeah.
So many people are online.
I know. And it's just a different kind of life that we have now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in many ways, it's good. You know, I was able to reignite some old friendships and stuff, you know, from, like, childhood. So that's kind of exciting. And, you know, meeting a lot of new people is cool on Facebook and stuff.
Yeah. Have you been on any more dates recently?
Yes, I have.
You have?
I have, yeah. I go on dates all the time. I don't really find anybody, but that's fine, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I just want a date.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm making up. My 30s sort of flew by and were not a good time for me. And, you know, I got divorced. My kids were young. I went through a lot of stuff. So, you know, I started a business and I had some health problems and stuff. So my 30s sucked big time. And, you know, I think the 30s are like the best because you're not too young. You're not too old. You know, that's when you plan your family, the rest of your life, you know.
Right.
And you can get to play around a lot. And I didn't. So I'm making up for it now.
Good for you.
Yeah. But I'm meeting some great people. I love it. I love meeting new people.
Yeah.
You know. So that's cool. Yeah. And it's also fun to keep looking for relationships and stuff. You know, I
Definitely.
Mean, I'm not looking for them, but you never know who's going to end up with you, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Have you given any more thought to speed dating?
Yeah, I have. In fact, I looked at it and I saw a couple pictures from one that was going on a week ago, but I couldn't go because it was for younger ages, which sucks. It has to remind me how old I am.
Oh.
But I saw pictures, and I guess they're like in a restaurant or some place, and they just sit there and they switch people real quick.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking, you know, I mean, what if all the people are terrible, you know? But I guess it's not bad because you
no,
go through it quickly, right?
Exactly. Yeah. At least it's only, what is it, like a minute or something?
I think 5 minutes.
Oh, it's 5 minutes?
Yeah,
okay.
Something
so,
like that.
So that's a decent amount of time that you can either be like, all right.
It's true because first impressions are all that matters,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Everything after that is like, it depends on the first impression, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. So you get the first impression over with and then you can try.
Yeah.
Start more of a conversation, or it's like, oh, well, this isn't going to go anywhere. So it only got another couple more minutes to kill.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm going to try that, you know, just so I can see what it is. You know, if it's good, I'm going to get hooked on them. I'll go to the speed dating events in town.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of them.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about men. They just have to go through numbers, you know. I don't know what it is. But, yeah. So you said you got a car now, so you're mobile again.
I got a car,
which
so
is
I
good.
Feel back on.
I know. I keep thinking of your accident. I'm like, God, you know, I can't believe it. You're sitting, stopped at a light, and cars are just smashing into you.
I know. It's just, you know? It's really one of those wrong place, wrong time.
It is, huh?
It's completely.
It is, God.
There's nothing else. I mean, I wasn't doing anything.
Right.
And
but you know what? I always prefer to think of it as like, you know, it could have been worse. You know,
oh,
I was really lucky.
Definitely.
You know, because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
Like my son wrecked his car, you know, driving alone, you know, went off the road because he was trying to avoid something. And but the thing is that You never know, you know, but yeah. It could have been so much worse.
Yeah.
He just got pissed, and I told him, I said, it could have been so much worse. You should just be grateful to be alive and scratchless.
Definitely.
You know, so...
Yeah, I'm definitely thankful. I mean, how I don't know. I got out scratch-free, so yeah, pretty
good
much.
For you.
So I'm, yeah.
Yeah. And your car, is it in pretty bad shape?
My car's struggling.
Really? How long is the repair going to take?
About 2 weeks,
Two weeks, yeah.
Maybe a little bit longer, because they have to order parts. That's
right.
The problem.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily that they're going to be fixing it the whole time, but for the parts to come.
Right, yeah. And so. it's like putting together a puzzle, you know? I mean, when you take apart a car, it's not simple.
Yeah.
And
it was interesting, because, I mean, the bumper had come off, so to see everything, it was like, oh, I've never seen a car this way. This is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I know. But I hope I don't have to see my... I saw my car this way once. I came out of Menchie's. It was a rainy day, and I parked on the street. So we were walking to my car, and I'm looking, you know, through the rain, it's not that clear. Mm-hmm. I'm looking across the street, and my car looked different from the front. And I'm thinking, what, am I not seeing right or something? We walk up, I see my whole bumper, my whole front end on the ground.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. There was and I remembered, I don't know why, but I remember there was an SUV, black SUV in front of me. And apparently what happened, but it wasn't there when I got there.
Yeah.
So, but they had left a note. And she said, you know, I backed into your car. I'm sorry. You know, here's my number, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, well, that's
and
nice.
I know, but the note was almost illegible because of the rain, you know.
Oh, no.
All the ink sort of like. So it was funny, you know, but I ended up getting her number and we got it fixed. But it was, I mean, you can't help it, you know. You just leave your car and something happens.
I know. I watched someone from my balcony the other day back into my car. She
really?
Was trying to get parallel park into a spot. She backed in my car, and when I went down, I was like, oh, you just backed into my car. No, I didn't.
Really?
I was like, I just watched you. I just watched you do it. I mean, yeah, there's no damage, but okay, don't lie.
Yeah.
Like, I was just coming down to see if there was
damage, yeah.
And there wasn't, thankfully, but still.
Yeah.
I mean,
some people will park like that. I know, because I watch from my balcony too sometimes. People will park, they'll back all the way until they hit the car, and then they know, okay, I'm far enough back.
No.
I can't move forward.
Like, oh my God. I was like, are you, what? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You just said no? You did. Please don't lie.
I know. But, you know, it's like, there's the call coming in. We have a very short time with him, so we're going to go ahead and take that. Good morning. You're on the air. Is this Christian Rutter?
This is Jackie with Christian Rutter.
Yes. Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Is this a live or a taped interview?
We're live. We're live on the air.
And we're showing a heart out at 25 after the hour.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Here's
Thank
Christian.
You. Thank you.
And you've been joined by Sam and Charlotte.
Yes. Christian.
Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Thank you for calling in.
My pleasure.
Yes, where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm in Midtown Manhattan.
Oh, in Manhattan, right where the action is. Cool.
Yeah, that is the right way to put it.
Yeah. So is that where you live, or are you on a book tour right now?
No, I live in Brooklyn, so I live a river away.
I see. Okay. Very cool. So we already introduced you before you called, because we only have a short time together. And I was introducing you as the co-founder of OKCupid. Of course, that's what you're famous for. But you've also written blogs and everything. And I understand you're a Harvard-trained mathematician. So that's what drew you to big data, and I would imagine, right?
Yeah, you know, me and three of my classmates from school started OKCupid 10 years ago now, so it's like grandfather old in terms of websites. So we started the site, and we were actually all math majors. And so, you know, from the beginning, we were looking at all this data, just kind of trying to do our job. You know, we were looking at who likes who and who wants to sleep with who and who hates who, and trying to figure out, you know, what makes this type of person different from this other type of person. And in the process, we learned a lot about human nature, at least as it pertains to sort of sex and love, you know?
Right.
And it occurred to me that there were other people working at Facebook or Twitter or Google kind of doing the same thing with different data, that were learning different things about human nature, like, for example, OKCupid knows nothing about married life because most people on the site aren't married, you know?
Right.
So, you know, I wrote this book to tie all that stuff together and to tell the human interest story of data. I there's so much of the press is about big data, you know, capital B, capital D. Yeah. It has to do with marketing and advertising and dollars and cents, or the NSA kind of creepy spying story. Right. And I just wanted to talk about the things that the everyday person thinks about in their own life, like race, sex, politics, love, hate. Those are the things that I look at in the book.
Right. And they're probably, they're probably pretty accurate, because when people are online and they have this anonymity, they figured, I can do whatever I want and nobody knows. And yet you guys collect all this data in a cumulative way. So I would imagine you're not really looking at specific people, but you're looking at trends.
Oh yeah, we never look at any individual person's data. Right. Everything is aggregated.
Doesn't really matter. It's not interesting. Yeah, to only get one person.
That anonymity online can kind of go both ways. I mean, the kind of downside is you can get somebody, you know, they pick a screen name, you know, cool dude 999, and they can sit there and pretend to be a foot taller than they really are, or be a billionaire or whatever, you know, any kind of posture. So I really tried to, in the book, I tried to look at the kind of liberating aspect of what you were referring to, that when people are just acting and doing things rather than saying things, like who people click on, how people vote, who people decide to message, the things that people like, rather than just what they're claiming about themselves.
Right. And so obviously you look for action rather than words, because that's where the meaning lies, I think, you know.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it. Exactly.
Yeah. So, Christian Rutter, your book is Dataclysm, Who We Are When We Think No One's Looking. And how long did it take you to write a book like this?
Oh, it took me about 3 years, I think, start to finish. But, you know, I mean, I'd been thinking about this stuff pretty much, I mean, like I said a second ago, just our work at OkCupid is crunching data and trying to figure out what's up with people. So it's was in my blood before that.
Right.
You examine questions such as how racist are we, has tweeting made us more stupid, how can Facebook likes predict a person's sexual orientation or intelligence. What did you find the most interesting part of collecting all this data that a lot of people won't realize?
I think the most interesting single finding in the book was there were these people, this group of scientists from the UK, that were looking at patterns of Facebook likes. You know, that they weren't looking at friendship on the site. They weren't looking at anyone's pictures, just likes, you know, books, movies, whatever, articles. And just from that stuff alone, you know, they could, with 95% accuracy, they could predict your race. You know, 88% accuracy, they could tell you whether you're gay or straight. 85% accuracy, they could guess whether you're a Democrat or Republican. You know, all the way down to, with a 60% accuracy, they could tell whether your parents got divorced before you were 21. So they could actually kind of look back into your past just from the pattern of Facebook likes. And you know, that's with, what, 7 or 8 years of data to go on. You know, I have a daughter that's 2 years old, and she's going to grow up with Facebook being a thing her whole life.
Right.
You know, and I'm half curious, half a little bit frightened about what will be possible then.
I know, yeah. I know. It's all the fear of the unknown, you know. I'm sure these kids will take care of themselves just fine. And, you know, because, I mean, look, today we're, like, concerned with kids on the computer a lot and video games and everything. But you know what? That's just life today, you know. I mean, we try to compare it to our own lives when we were growing up and judging whether what our kids are doing is right or wrong. But the reality is that their lives will never be private. You know, they're born into this kind of society where everything is out there. And I'm sure they'll manage somehow, don't you think? Christian?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the popularity of Snapchat almost on its own speaks to that. I think people who are younger teenagers, people in their 20s, use that a lot more than they use things like Facebook, because they can have a conversation with someone that isn't broadcast to the world, and that is just very appealing. They're becoming more savvy about what they do with their information and with their lives. You know, and I don't know. I have mixed feelings. I agree that people, you know, tend to over-romanticize the past, you know, but at the same time, I'm thinking to myself, you know, when I was a kid, I was talking about this with a friend the other day. It would be 8 in the morning. my mom was like, all right, be back for dinner, you know, which is like 12 hours away or whatever, 10 hours away. I'd spend all day outside just doing whatever.
I know.
And I will be sad for sure, in spite of myself, if my daughter, when she's that age, instead of going out and playing, spends all day on a tablet or a phone, you know.
Right.
So, and at the same time, I run one of these companies, so it's just a tough balance.
Right. And as a parent, I think you can try and go for the balance, you know, because if you introduce kids to these other alternatives, they like them, you know. It's just that, you know, I think some parents just let their kids play the games and sort of like a babysitter, like we used to do with TV. And so, you know, but that's for another conversation altogether, you know.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's hard to say whether a website is any worse for a kid than like Three's Company or whatever it was that I was watching when I was 10. So.
What do you think about online privacy? Because obviously right now, everything with iCloud is up in the air because of Jennifer Lawrence and certain pictures that have been
the
leaked.
Hacking,
what do you think about online privacy?
Oh, I mean, I think that whole thing was just horrible. I think it's important to distinguish that is somebody hacking something private of a specific individual, you know, that she wasn't volunteering at all to the world. It's there for her personal use, which she has every right to expect to be kept private. And even Apple didn't want this leak, you know. And so I think that's a big difference between this aggregate data, which doesn't say anything about any one individual. It says, it talks about, you know, people with a capital P, you know, all of us. And it's also not illegal, you know, and it's not invasive like that. Although I understand why they seem similar. But the iCloud stuff is just, it's gross.
Yeah, and I wasn't necessarily meaning the data that you've collected, just to clarify. I was mainly meaning... Yeah, sorry about that. I was mainly meaning when you go online and say you put something on Facebook or you put something on a website that you think personally is private, but you realize now that it's not.
Right. Everybody's looking at it, yeah.
Yeah, anything you do on a computer is stored. You know, that's just a fact. I think, you know, I think people do need to realize that. It reminds me, the reason I kind of answered the question the way I did, or I misunderstood what you were asking, is that I think there are a lot of people who kind of conflate all these ideas about computers generally, and it reminds me a lot of at least what I've read. I wasn't alive then, but when television was invented, you know, I think some people thought that the person on the TV could look back at them in their living room, you know, and I think people are just learning about this stuff, and people should understand if there's anything but good that comes out of this Jennifer Lawrence thing is that people should understand you put a photo on there in iCloud or wherever, it might end up in the wrong hands, you know, and that's not to excuse at all the people who took it and have exploited those photos, but it is a risk.
Right, definitely. Okay, so Christian, we better let you go so you can go on with your interviews. Do you have a website where people can find out more?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, thanks. You know, the book is for sale wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstore, and the website where you can find out more about the book or me is dataclism.org.
Okay, sounds great. Christian, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us this morning. And this sounds fascinating. I started reading the book, and it really is different from anything out there, so I highly recommend this. And Christian, give our love to New York City, and all the best to you.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Sure. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Very interesting stuff, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. But can you imagine to be like a founder of something as big as, you know, OkCupid and stuff? I mean, wow. And it's amazing because he says his co-founders and he were mathematicians.
I was about to say that. Yeah. You know? Did he say him and two or three friends from... Harvard started the website together 10 years ago, obviously not expecting that it would skyrocket into something like this.
I know. But it's amazing how they planned it around mathematics and stuff, you know, which is amazing. I guess in a way, that site also, eHarmony, I guess they also connect you with people. But it's a whole different thing, you know. It's a whole different... They have their own algorithms and stuff. But OkCupid is more... Well, it's free, first of all, you know, which is pretty cool. And I think, yeah, and it's a different way. I look at it as sort of like a supplemental dating site because I would like to be able to choose, to search on people and, you know, and choose right. the stuff, which you get on other sites. But here, like I said, if I recall correctly, they sort of like choose candidates for you and you say whether you like them or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, and I don't know the specifics of each of the websites, but right. I've heard so much about OkCupid.
Yeah.
So much.
It's like they tell you like what percentage you and another person are alike. You know, so for example, if they say, well, you guys have 80% in common or something, might be a good idea to pursue yeah. that person, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. So, and then sometimes you get someone with 20%, you go, oh my God.
Maybe not this person.
Yeah, not this person, man. Oh, wow. So, yeah, the book is Dataclysm. He said Dataclysm, but I tend to say data rather than data.
I do too. I say data.
I think data is the right way to say it. But
data.
Yeah. But even, you know,
I think a lot of Americans say data.
You think?
I think so.
No, I don't know. I don't see that. But okay. Whatever. I guess it depends what part of the country
you're in. Yeah, maybe.
You know. But at any rate, also a lot of people don't realize, even writers, the data is a plural word, you know. And the singular is datum, actually. So when you talk about data, it's like data are, not data is. But it's become so widely used that people are accepting it the way it is.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But when you say all that data, you know, it means a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, not just a single thing. So, so that's the way it is. I love playing with the language, man. Did you know that stadium, do you know what do you know that the plural is stadia and not stadiums?
I did not know.
Yeah.
That's
there's a lot
cool
of things
too.
Like that. I know. I know. I love language, man. I'm telling you. So sometimes I read all kinds of books.
Next time I'm going to say, when I want to say stadiums, stadia.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And everybody's like, wow, you know, where did you get that?
Completely. They'll be like, what?
Yeah.
Like, well, that's like actually the correct way of saying it.
Yeah. You know, like we say medium and media. You know, media yeah. is the plural for medium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we say mediums, but it's media. So, So people use it differently and stuff. But some words are just, you know, the usage is different. So they just become part of the language that mm-hmm. way.
Yeah.
You know. So, very interesting. Okay, so there's a headline, and it's official. Apple introduced two new iPhones, the iPhone 6 and the bigger iPhone 6 Plus. All right. So now we know. And that's pretty much what people predicted, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And they have, I guess they just have comments here.
The iPhone 6 Plus looks a lot bigger.
Oh, really?
Size-wise,
Are you seeing a picture of it?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a picture like on the screen and stuff. There's the regular iPhone.
The iPhone 6, so I don't even know if that's regular.
Yeah.
Because it's still supposed to be a little bit bigger.
Well, the one, they're showing three of them, actually, the picture I'm looking at. So I imagine one is the regular iPhone, the 5S,
gotcha.
And then the 6 and the 6 Plus.
I think they're going to be, they're always popular.
Yeah, yeah. Though people are going to buy everything that Apple makes, you know.
Yep.
And it's just curious that they waited this long to come up with bigger screens. But
because now they can compete with the Galaxy and all those
exactly.
that are bigger.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
is what they needed to do, because I've heard a lot of people recently say, oh, I would get this phone or the Android or whatever instead of the iPhone next.
Right.
I'm like, huh,
it's because I think people sort of like get bored with something after a while. So they need to come up with products maybe faster. I don't know. But the 5S only came out last year, so I mean, they're doing fine. You know?
Yeah, I think every year.
Yeah.
I think people would get really overwhelmed if it was more than every year.
Yeah, I know. It seems that Samsung releases a new phone every month, though, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, go figure, you know.
Yeah.
So they're not saying anything about an iWatch, which people were expecting.
So maybe they're keeping that for... I didn't think they would release everything together.
Yeah.
So maybe they're keeping that for...
Well, often they do, though. I mean, or they may not release them together, but they announce them together sometimes. So, there was the MacBook Air and the iPhone were introduced operating systems, things like that. So, but we'll see. You know, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I love new things, especially new iPhones. So.
Definitely. I know somebody that he cracked his screen, and the people, I don't know what carrier he was on, but they said basically, well, you could get it fixed and pay $150, but you're due for an upgrade, so I would wait for the iPhone 6.
Right.
But then they said, you should probably get to the store around 5 a.m. because people are going to be lining up for it. It's like, great.
Yeah.
Great.
I know. Yeah, and that's if you get lucky, you'll get it.
Yeah.
But you wait a month, and then they're all over the place.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I remember with the 5S, man, I was so irritated I had to wait. I had to order it, and they said it might take a month. It was like in October.
Yeah.
A month after it was announced. And but they had it to me within a week.
Wow.
So it wasn't that bad. Yeah. But I remember everybody needed to have the gold. The gold wasn't available. Now, I don't even know one person with the gold
iPhone. Yeah, I don't either.
I see the silver and the gunmetal one. But
that's what I have. But I cracked my screen, too. So I got they weren't even making the 5 anymore. So I had to get the 5S.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the screens are so easy to fix today. You know, I mean, there's places that replace it for you in no time.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to go to Apple to do that.
I had insurance, so
good.
It worked out.
Okay, good for you. Yeah, rather than pay the $150 bucks or whatever, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
You can buy a whole new phone for that kind of money.
Yeah, and then I have a bumper case, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so amazing. It's the best bumper case. I got it from the Apple store. Mm. And, I mean, it's got, like, shock in it, I guess.
Really?
There's stuff in it that when it falls, that expands and protects the phone more.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's great.
Is it like rubbery stuff?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best case, I think, you know. Plastic ones, I don't know that they help that much.
I don't think they
do. The hard plastic ones.
I don't think they do.
Yeah. So, I don't think we talked yesterday about Ray Rice's beating his wife.
No, we didn't.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think we mentioned it, though.
Yeah,
something
we touched
about
on it,
the
but
Ravens.
Not, yeah.
Yeah, when Rich was here. But
he's been indefinitely
reprimanded,
suspended.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the amazing thing is now his wife is saying that that she's blaming the media for slamming her husband.
Yeah, and don't know how much that if they're wanting to cause hurt and pain, then they're doing it. They've taken away something that he's worked.
You see that
so hard for and.
Yeah.
But
you see, that's the abused woman syndrome, I think, you know, where they're in denial. I mean, she dropped on the floor face first.
I haven't seen the video.
Yeah, you haven't seen it?
No.
Yeah. It's like it's inside the elevator, and you can see people don't think there's cameras in elevators. There's cameras everywhere.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
Apparently they had like an argument or something. There was no audio, but then he's like slams her face. He slaps her or something, hits her, and she falls. She falls on the floor of the elevator, and like face down.
Oh my God.
And then he drags out her limp body outside the elevator. You know, like wow. You know, so for a woman not to think that is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know. She's an abused woman.
And
she
the problem
doesn't
is with
the
all
problem.
These with all these videos coming out, it's like the NFL have to do something drastic to show that they don't support this, or
that's true.
They're going to be shown to be they're going to be criticized and
yeah,
whatever.
There'll be pressure on them to get
rid
of him. Yeah,
yes. Well, he has. He's been released.
Like what? Indefinitely? Did you say
He's been released, but suspended indefinitely by the NFL too.
Mm. Yeah.
So it pretty much means he can't get picked up by anyone else.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, you know, I mean, these guys, these brutes, you know, I mean, beating up women, beating up other guys, murdering people. Remember, I can't remember his name, this NFL player who's charged with murder, multiple murder, and like a few months ago, a year ago or something. And, yeah, there's quite a bit of that. And, you know, I mean, what kind of a match is that between a football player and a woman?
Right.
You know, I mean, there's just no, you know, where's your dignity? You know, where's your respect for yourself? You know, who beats up a woman like that?
Yeah.
So, So she claims it's a private matter, but then this guy, this reporter, says this is not a private matter.
Yeah, when it's been released, it's not a private matter anymore.
Right.
If it happens in your own home and no one knows about it, that's a private matter.
Right, but when exactly.
Everyone in the public knows about it, all the fans know about it, it's not public anymore because everyone forms an opinion.
Right.
As much as you don't want them to, they do.
Right, exactly. You know, it's like, and it's not private because there's a law being broken there. You know, and it's the same thing as abusing kids and stuff. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's I just can't imagine people doing this kind of stuff, but they do. You know, and they get away with it. But if you abuse a kid or something, that's not private anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you abuse your wife, it's not private anymore.
Yeah.
So
no.
Yeah, these people have to learn. A little bit about how to live.
Yeah, and I mean, so many people have, athletes have commented, like NFL players, coaches, and I feel like most of the time athletes don't really comment on matters like this because everything mm-hmm. can be twisted and you don't want that much publicity
attention.
Around you
right.
for saying something. But this, I mean, it struck everyone hard, and but everyone's supporting or seems to be supporting what they've done.
Yeah, the NFL. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Actually, if you want to see the video, well, I guess you can just Google it. You'll find it anywhere. But
yeah.
They do have a link on the front page of CNN.com.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It says see video of Ray Rice in the elevator. So you can see that.
Sorry. I was just going to say Joan Rivers had her funeral on, or it was Joan Rivers' funeral last Sunday. In a reformed Jewish synagogue in New York.
In New York, okay, yeah. Not in L.A. Because she's lived in New York.
There was at least 40 celebrities there, including Hugh Jackman and obviously Juliana Rancic.
Only 40 celebrities?
I was kind of
maybe it's
said,
a small.
It said at least 40.
Okay, so maybe it was a small funeral. Maybe the family kept it small.
But I'm surprised. When I read only 40, I was kind of surprised too. But it was apparently an honorable showbiz affair, which is what she wanted. Because when she was interviewed at some point saying that when it was her funeral, she wanted singing and dancing.
Right, she told her daughter that one time.
Yeah, so hopefully.
So maybe that's what it turned out to be. Yeah. I don't know. Was it like that?
It's an honorable showbiz affair. Whatever that means.
Yeah.
But it included a final standing ovation for for Rivers.
Well, if they said showbiz affair, it means some entertainment probably.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure, yeah.
You're fucking crazy, man. Oh, man.
But that's sad that, I mean, she was there. I watched a lot of the tributes. I mean, it was interesting to see the difference between CNN covering this
mm-hmm.
and E!
Yeah.
And E! Was doing tributes to her, and obviously she worked for E! So it was a little bit different.
Right.
But CNN was like speculating about how she was probably getting plastic surgery and not whatever she was. I don't know.
The
but
throat
it was
surgery.
Like such speculation on CNN right. and not a tribute. And it's like, that's so sad.
Wow. Yeah.
Rather than, whereas on E! It was these really awesome tributes showing all the interviews she's done over the years and all this really cool stuff.
Yeah.
It's just like, come on, CNN. If you're not going to be respectful for the family, don't have speculation and start making people talk about it. Just don't cover it.
I mean, you know, the media has a lot to answer to. I mean, there's no doubt that Rice's wife has something here, but, you know, about the media and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. You know, I mean, it's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad when people do that.
It is.
Yeah. So what did I want to bring up here? Oh, so they're just saying, you know, stop blaming the victim and stuff. So that's, you know, that goes for Ray Rice's wife. Oh, I did want to mention that Joan Rivers actually published a book recently.
Yeah.
And I was at the bookstore and I saw that. It's only from a few months ago, I think. And it's pretty funny stuff. She likes to rant about everything, you know. So
I can't remember the name of it now. I'm just looking it up because
it's
a really funny name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know. I don't remember the name either.
A Diary of a Mad Diva.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she's written quite a few books. I mean, she's done a lot in her life, you know.
Yeah.
And it's ironic and sad that both her and Robin Williams had to go pretty much at the same time, because they're both like comedy titans in this
right.
country, you know.
I've seen a lot of posts and stuff, say, like with a photo of those two together saying they're making a lot of people laugh upstairs. And
right.
Some, yeah.
That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're very funny. They've become part of the American culture. And they were huge. And they're both multi-talented, you know. Not only are
Definitely.
They funny, but they've played drama roles and things like that, especially Robin Williams. And Joan Rivers played herself in a few movies and stuff, which was funny. But, yeah.
Yeah. I just saw Obama had commented on the Ray Rice video saying a real man doesn't hit a woman.
Yeah. There you go.
When Obama gets into these stories, I feel like that's when it's pretty serious.
Yeah.
When you get Obama commenting. It's like he has enough on his plate.
Yeah. I know. Well, this is a story that's like outrageous, and I heard about it a few days ago. I actually saw the video. But now when I was looking it up to talk about it, I had tears in my eyes just thinking about it. I don't know if you saw this video. Remember the day when they were doing the bucket challenges and all that stuff?
Yeah.
So I guess there was this autistic guy, mm-hmm. and a bunch of people did the bucket with him, but he didn't know they were going to dump feces and urine on him. So it's like you've seen them, you know, on the top of a garage, you know, dropping all this water on him, all this liquid, and it's full of, like, disgusting things. So, and they dumped it on his head. Now, this is an autistic guy. They used his phone to videotape this. And so, I mean, this is serious enough that the cops actually identify the people behind this. You know, so this is considered... I don't know, misdemeanor or crime,
yeah.
but enough for the cops to get involved, you know.
That's
it's not
so
just a prank or something.
Yeah.
Isn't it sad,
That's
though?
Awful.
I mean, and for the, you know, and I mean, these kids have a hard enough life as it is, you
right.
know. And but the thing is, even he may not even understood what was going on, you know. They're saying he didn't know what was in the water until afterwards, but still... But I feel for the parents, you know, for the mother, for the father, who had to raise him and see all this cruelty toward him, you know?
Yeah.
And why is this so much hatred like this? Why are people treating each other like garbage?
Yeah, that's
you know?
Just awful.
And it's always these brutes, these bullies, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's teens or whether it's wives or whatever, it's always those bullies, you know, and mm-hmm. and then people end up committing suicide. I mean, do you know how much pressure it is on a teenager to be exposed to something like this and people laugh at you and
right.
stuff, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a lot, and I mean, that's just,
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah, I know. It reminds me of the movie Carrie. I don't know if you ever saw it. Was with Spacek. What was her first name? I forgot. God, it's on the tip of my tongue. But she was like a huge actress. But when she was young and John Travolta was in it too, it was like a 1976 movie based on a Stephen King book. And she was also like sort of like... I don't know what's going on with my voice. She was also like a cast out and an outcast and things like that in school. And then at the prom, they dumped a bucket of pig blood on her. And so that was like, you know, and then she turned out to have like superpowers and she would like be able to destroy everybody, you know, just with her thinking.
Yeah.
And her vision and stuff. So, but it reminds me of that, you know. So there's a lot of kids that are left behind, you know. I mean, they're mm-hmm. like, people don't pay attention to them. They're not very social. Maybe they're inward type of people.
Right.
And people make fun of them, you know, and
Definitely.
Are cruel to them. And I can't handle thinking of things like that.
Yeah. No, I can't either. I mean, I think a lot of people, I mean, I got bullied when I was younger.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people go through it.
Yeah.
A lot of people that you
Yeah, I think I did too. Yeah. I mean, I remember embarrassing moments in school and stuff. Yeah, it probably happens to most people, huh?
I think a lot more people than we realize.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if it happens to
Because as a kid, you sort of like, you don't look at it as bullying. You just look at it as, you probably will blame yourself. You know, you probably think I deserve this or whatever, you know. I don't know that kids are like sophisticated enough to understand that those bullies are not the right ones. Mm-hmm. You're the right. You're
yeah,
in the right.
Definitely. And I think that's how it spirals out of control with some people, because they blame themselves and think
yeah.
that they have to change.
You know, and that's sad, man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I guess this Indiana couple was charged with holding a woman in a dog cage for weeks. Apparently, this young mother had like a drunken stupor with her boyfriend or something, and they had an argument, so she meandered the streets the whole night, pretty much. And so finally she was spotted by someone who was familiar to her, and he gave her a ride. So he turned out to be, you know, a kidnapper with his girlfriend. They kept her in a motorhome and beat her, raped her, forced her to wear a dog collar.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, again, cruelty of people, you know.
Where was the location?
This is in Cleveland, did I read here?
Cleveland.
No, wait a minute. They're an Indiana couple. But I don't know. Why did I read? Oh, no. No, wait a minute. No, I was reading about something else. Okay. You know what? The kid, the autistic kid was somewhere in Cleveland.
Got it.
And Drew Carey, who's from that town, mm-hmm. offered $10,000 to find these guys.
Wow.
You know Drew Carey, the comedian?
Yeah.
Yeah. So so that was in Cleveland, I think. But this is in Indiana.
Gotcha.
Evansville, Indiana.
I mean, just shows that, I mean, walking around...
Yeah.
Shouldn't be roaming around the streets at night.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, this is not a child, you know, like
yeah.
those childs getting kidnapped.
Right.
30-year-old woman, but she was gagged with chloroform and held captive for 2 months.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's a terrible story, and I can only imagine yeah. how the boyfriend was feeling, because it was after their argument
yeah.
that it happened.
I know. And apparently she was rescued by this guy who just happened to notice what was going on, and they're saying he risked his life to save her.
Happened to notice, so it can't have been that.
Yeah.
They can't have been hiding it that much.
Well, yeah, you never know, you
yeah.
know. But maybe he's seen it. Maybe it's a neighbor or something,
right.
you know. But, yeah, thank right. God it's not 2 years or 20 years. At least it's 2 months.
Only 2 months, yeah, definitely. But the... What, yeah. what that causes, the repercussions is.
Yeah, you see, I guess this guy that saved her said that he saw her in a dog cage.
Oh my gosh, that's so awful.
Yeah. Wow.
Really awful.
Yeah. Wow. All right, well, I guess we covered just about everything today. We had a lot of time to cover a lot of news and stuff, so that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know, anything exciting coming up? I don't know. Now that Apple announced the iPhones, we can all go back to sleep, right?
We can all relax now.
I mean, the big deal we've made about it. Oh, man. Everybody's just standing in line to spend hundreds of dollars.
Yep.
Wow.
Standing
go figure,
in line
you know?
Waiting for the phone.
To spend money.
Right. Spend lots of money. Because they're always so expensive
money.
When they come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you for joining us. Definitely a lot of fun. We'll have a guest, phone guest tomorrow who forgot to call last week or a couple weeks ago. And so we're going to cover that. And that's it. We won't talk about the weather like we didn't today. So take care, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow.
In morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, only on LA Talk Radio.